So we left off previous year discussing what exactly was the point of contention between Rav and Shmuel. They were clearly arguing about something related to tzitzis. It wasn't clear what the point was. So Rav gave a whole series of different kinds of strings, different kinds of materials that are not acceptable for tzitzis. But then he gave something that is acceptable. And Shmuel said, no, even that is not acceptable. So what exactly are they arguing about? So Rashi's presentation of the sugya was as follows. And according to Rashi, everybody agrees in the basic halacha that tzitzis required to be made lishma. That's a given. Tzitzis are similar to other kinds of mitzvahs that definitely require lishma. The question that Rav and Shmuel were arguing was, which part of the tzitzis making process requires lishma? So according to Rav, only the connecting of the strings to the beggar, that's the ikra siyas at tzitzis, and that has to be made lishma. And therefore, all those things that were connected to the beggar from before, and that the strings that the weaver left off behind, that the tailor left off, whatever was part of the beggar before, you want to just kind of turn that into tzitzis on the spot, that would not be acceptable. So according to Rav, the connecting of the strings has to be lishma, but the manufacturing of the strings themselves need not be made lishma. Therefore, the spinning of the wool doesn't have to be lishma. And Shmuel added on, no, he was mechadish, that even the tviya, even the spinning of the wool, has to be lishma. So at the end of the day, according to Rashi, there's not so much of a conceptual machlokes. Everybody agrees that fundamentally tzitzis have to be lishma. It's just almost a gradation, a question of which stage is yes, which stage is no. But according to other Rishonim, there's a much more fundamental machlokes taking place, that according to the Rambam and according to the Talmud, so the point of contention between Rav and Shmuel was this very point, namely, is there a din of lishma at all? But tzitzis, according to Rav, there's no such din. And according to Shmuel, there is such a din. So why are those first three cases no good according to Rav? So the Rambam said because those were lower quality strings, and therefore it's a bizur mitzvah, it's an embarrassment to the mitzvah. The Balmor said the lower quality strings, and therefore they couldn't be made into a baguette, and any strings that can't be made into a baguette themselves are not acceptable. Those were almost like technical reasons in Uchas Tzitzis why, according to Rav, it would be not acceptable. But the underlying principle of, do you need lishma or not? So according to Rav, there is no requirement of lishma. So we pointed out that the Rambam was clearly on the side of those we showed about Mon, the Rambam were on the side that there's no din of lishma whatsoever. And according to Rav, what prompted the Rambam to say that is the Rambam held that the connecting of the beged, the strings to the beged, for sure doesn't need lishma. Nobody held that's lishma. Even Shmuel holds that's not lishma. That's what we take a look at in the Rambam in the second of the Rambam Kamos. So the Rambam Rechitz Perek Aleph says, Tzitzis she'aso so kusi posel, she'never dabe b'nei su'aba su'olem tzitzis. If tzitzis are made by a goy, kusi means a goy here, if tzitzis are made by a goy, they're not acceptable. What does it mean they're made by a goy? Also, tzitzis means they're connected. The strings are connected to the beggar by a goy. They're not acceptable because of the gzeres akos of b'nei Yisrael, v'lo goyim. And volume also say Yisrael, but if a Jew makes the strings below kavana kshayra, but if a Jew connects the strings to the beggar without kavana, not being lishma, that would be perfectly okay. So we have now, really, as a secondary machlokes, the Rambam and other Rishonim, this stage of tzitzis making, of connecting the strings to the beged, is that required lishma not? So according to Rashi, that was a given. Of course that required lishma. That wasn't even enough for discussion. Even Rav, who was makel at other aspects of lishma, such as tevia, conceded that that has to be lishma. So according to Rashi, the absolute epitome of requiring lishma, according to everybody under the sun, is the connecting of the beged and the strings. According to the Rambam, the exact opposite is true. The connecting of the beged to the strings, nobody requires lishma. Even we don't require lishma. Nobody dreamt of it being lishma. So what is the point of contention now between Rashi and the Rambam? So now a second machlokes is emanating from the two ways of learning a sugya. Now we focus, we'll almost be closing on sukkah for a moment. We focus now just on tzitzis proper. So what is the din? Halacha l'maisa. A guy today, this morning, wants to make a pair of tzitzis, and he connects the strings, not with the intent of making tzitzis. He didn't do it lishma. Is that good or is that no good? So according to Rashi, that is not negotiable, that's possible, that Torah, according to everybody, Rav, Shmuel, we, hello? Not even a question. The connecting of the strings in the beged is the absolute requirement of lishma l'chaladeus. And according to the Rambam, it's so not required lishma, you don't even need, even for us, even the Machmim, Shem Machmim, says the Rambam, you don't need it at all. Where did that machlekes come from? What kind of machlekes is that? So it's clear from the Rambam, we go back to the Rambam, read the Rambam a third time. You have to read the Rambam many, many times to appreciate what the Rambam is saying. If you read the Rambam a third time, we'll see exactly where the Rambam got it from. The Rambam starts out by saying once again, Tzitzis she'aso sakusi posel, sh'nemer odabe b'nei Yisrael v'aslam tzitzis. Volume also say Yisrael b'lo kavanak sheira. The Rambam put two different halachas into one. Now, we've said already many times, the Rambam was the ultimate organizer. He was the absolute organizer par excellence. If the Rambam put two halachas, one right next to another, literally the same din, the same breath, there's a reason why I put them together. At first glance, these two halachas don't really belong together. At first glance, first the Rambam is talking about the gavra, the individual who's not acceptable to make tzitzis, and the Rambam spells out the goy. The non-Jew can't make tzitzis, exerts a cost of Dabba B'nai Israel. So if I was writing this Rambam, I would have had that as a halacha. Tzitzis asa kusi posel. Shinama Dabba B'nai Israel shalom tzitzis. Maybe at that point the Rambam should have spoken about other people who perhaps can or cannot make tzitzis. Maybe the Rambam should have addressed the women making tzitzis. Maybe should have addressed katana making tzitzis. For whatever reason, the Rambam didn't address those issues. But the Rambam in Halacha Yud Beis is really focusing on the gavra. What kind of a gavra is posel? Then I would have made it Halacha Yud Gimel. I would have continued a little bit later on. And by the way, now that we've identified who can make tzitzis, by the way, let's discuss what should the mindset of the maker of the tzitzis be. So the truth is that those two halachas are not really connected to one another. They're both halachas tzitzis, but they're not really integral one. They're not really critical one to another. So why does the Rambam almost lump them together into one breath? So the Acharonim point out that the reason why the Rambam put these two things together is because the Rambam ultimately derived the second halacha from the first halacha. There is no Gemara that says explicitly one way or the other whether tzitzis have to be connected to the Beged Lishma. Rashi claims there's a Gemara. The Rambam claims there's no such Gemara. So we have to figure out on our own, what should the din be? What would we have said the din is? So we try to figure out, based on the din that we do know about Hilchos Tzitzis, is there a pre-existing requirement that tzitzis be connected to the Beged Lishma? So the Rambam learned the sugya in Menachos that says that a goy can't create tzitzis, cannot put the tzitzis onto the beged, and the Rambam was bothered with the question, say the Acharonim. The Rambam's learning the Gemara that says there's a special pasuk b'nei Yisrael to exclude goyim from connecting strings to beged. Correct the Rambam Kasha, what do I need a pasuk for? What do I need a pasuk to tell me that a goy can't do it? Isn't it obvious? After all, we all know a goy can't do things l'shma. There's no way for a goy ever to do things l'shma. So why do I need a pasuk to disqualify him? Isn't it included in the general requirement of Lishma? So the Rambam looked at that Gemara, looked at the Gemara, and said, wait a second, you know what we can derive from this halacha? That the Taka is no din of Lishma. That we went in with a misconception. We went in with a preconceived notion. There must be a din of Lishma, says the Rambam. No. From the very fact that Chazal had a quote a pasuk to disqualify a goy, that in and of itself teaches us that there is no requirement of Lishma. And now we can extrapolate and say, well, a goy is no good because of the posuk. But a Yisrael b'li kavana is perfectly okay. And that's exactly what the flow of the Rambam is. So we can even read the Rambam now for a fourth time. So the Rambam says, Tzitzis she'asa sakusi posel. Shinema dabirei sholem eslam tzitzis. If you want to know whether a goy can make a tzitzis, the answer is he can't. It's exer sakosif. But from the fact that a goy can't, from the fact that we need a posel teacher that a goy can't, we can now extract the following din. Aval, the contrast is, the goy is no good because of the gzeres hakosav, but the Jew would be good, even though the Jew doesn't have kavana, like the goy who didn't have kavana. The goy is posel because of gzeres hakosav, but the lack of kavana was not a posel, teaching us that a lack of kavana per se is not a problem, and therefore Yisrael also a kavana ksheira. So that's how the Rambam learned the sugya. Now we have to take this Rambam and now turn the tables on Rashi. Rashi's opinion back in Masechet Sukkah Daf Tes was that the making of tzitzis, i.e. the connecting of the strings to the beged, requires lishma, according to Rav and according to Shmuel, and that's why the kutzin, the nimin, and the guy, that's all those strings were no good, because they were all connected shalom lishma, without the proper kavana. So we have a kasha on Rashi. According to Rashi, that there's an absolute precondition that tzitzis have to be connected, the strings must be connected to the beged lishma. So why do I need a pasuk to disqualify a goy? Isn't a goy obviously not doing it lishma? Isn't that a given? A goy, how's a goy going to do things lishma? So since the goy clearly can't do lishma, so why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a goy can't connect tzitzis? Of course he can't connect tzitzis. Don't tzitzis have to be lishma? So what would Rashi respond to the Rambam's proof positive? So the answer to Rashi would have to be as follows. We would have to question our assumption. Who said that a goy can't do things lishma? Vishtei? How do you know? Where does it say that a goy can't muster up kavana to do things lishma? This is a throwback to something that we spoke about in the past. There's a gemara that says this. There's a gemara, we had it in previous sugyas. The gemara in Maseches Gittin, in Achav Beis, Achav Gimel, speaks about the following. The gemara raises a question, what's the din? Can a katan create lishma? The context of the gemara was, a sugya in Maseches Gittin, can a katan write a get? We know that a get has to be written lishma, v'chosav lo lishma. So the gemara raises the question, can a katan write a get? So the Mishnah says yes. The Mishnah in Gittin Achav Beis says, akol k'sheh adukh tamas get afilu katan. So the gemara asks the question, how in the world could a katan write a get? He can't create lishma. He's a labar das. How in the world is he going to write the supervisor? He's going to write the get lishma. So Gemara says the only way for him to do it is what's called the gadol omer agabav, that you have to have an adult standing over him and instructing him and reminding him to do it lishma, do it lishma, lishma. So the Gemara says, oh, if you could get somebody to stand and supervise him, then the katan can pay attention. He'll be able to write the lishma. So we ask the Gemara, would you say the same thing by a goy? Would you permit a goy to write a get? Because after all, normally a goy can't do lishma, but you just told me that a goy omer agabav will work. So Gemara says, no, that's not going to work. Why? Because akabadaiti b'nafshi goy. The goy, he's not going to listen to us. The goy, he's in his own play, he's in his own way of thinking. He's somehow not going to be able to muster up the lishma. So when it comes to a get, the Gemara draws a distinction between a katan, that this trick of goy omer agabav will work, in contrast to the goy, where it's not going to work. So we spoke about this in the past as a major machlekes, and we showed him, what does that mean? What do those words mean that a katan yes and a goy no? So Rashi, on the spot, writes that the reason why a goy won't be able to do it is shema lo kiven lishma. Rashi puts in an extra word, three letters, shema lo kiven lishma. Maybe the goy won't be able to hold cup. What does that mean? Rashi is opening up the possibility a goy can sometimes do things lishma. It's not crazy that a goy can't, it's not impossible to say a goy can't do things lishma. It's just risky. We're not sure. Why is it so risky by a get? So the Rush quotes the name of Rabbeinu Baruch that the reason why it's risky by a get is a get takes a long time. A lot of concentration. You have to pay attention. L'sheva Ish, L'sheva Isha, L'sheva Gevishin. You have to pay attention. You're writing the names. You're writing the... It's complicated. It takes a long time. It takes a half hour, 40 minutes. It takes an hour to write. It takes a long time to write a get. So Rabbeinu Baruch says that when it takes a long time, you don't know. The guy's not, going to pay such careful attention to what we're saying. And therefore, Shema, we're not saying the get is puzzled for certain. We're just saying we don't know. We can't sanction such a get, misafik. That's what Rashi and Rabbeinu Baruch, the Rush, seem to say. However, the Rambam has a different interpretation. The Rambam held, and we spoke about this in the past, the Rambam holds that when we say that a goy can't write a get lishma, that means not shema, that means vaday. Why is it vaday? Because a goy just can't create lishma. It's a din, it's a halacha, that a goy is mufka from the parasha of lishma. Lishma was given for people who have the mitzvahs. If I have the parasha of Gittin, I have the parasha of Sefer Torah, I have the parasha of Tzitzis, those parashas speak to me, I can create lishma. A person who is mufka from that particular din, mufka from excluded from that particular parasha, not that he can't psychologically create lishma, he can't halachically create lishma. So it's a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, is the deficiency of a goy in lishma, almost like a psychological deficiency. He's just, he's not going to, his tension span is not long enough. What do I say? No, apidin, he's mufka, he's excluded from the din of lishma. So my nafkamina, a couple of serious nafkaminas. One major nafkamina is, are there any cases that we would perhaps accept the goy to write lishma? Does that even exist, the possibility? According to the Rambam, the answer is absolutely not. According to the Rambam, to accept the goy to write, to do anything lishma, forget it, a goy is mufka from lishma, end of discussion. But according to Rashi, it's almost case-by-case basis. If it's something that's not that complicated, maybe yes. If it's a little bit more complicated, then maybe no. That's exactly what the Rosh Rabbeinu Baruch say, that sometimes the halacha does accept a goy to do things lishma. Not always, and you have to take it case-by-case basis, but sometimes it's possible. So the Acharonim write that this Rashi now is lishitos. Rashi holds that it's possible for a goy to create lishma. There are some activities that a goy may be able to muster up enough kavanah to create lishma on a level of deraisa. You love Yisrael Omer Agabov. The goy is going to be paying attention to what the Jew is telling him. Maybe we could stretch it. Maybe that would be acceptable lishma. So one of those examples that we can maybe accept a goy doing the lishma may be something as simple as so very little time consuming as make tzitzis. Now, the makif tzitzis, we know, connecting the baguette to the strings takes a long time. It takes a long time because we have so many minhagim. We do seven strings and eight, seven times, 11 times. There's so many things. min haTorah. You know what it means to make a peratzitzis min haTorah? It's a joke. You take the strings, put them into the hole, make two knots, go around a couple of times, make another two knots, and join. That's it. Do that four quarters. It should take you a maximum 5 to 7 minutes. So come a group of achronim and say, but mad devar memorim that a goy can't do lishma according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Baruch and the Rosh. That's the writing of a get. The writing of a get is a long, drawn out, complicated, high concentration process. To make if tzitzit is so simple, even the goy can do it lishma. Once you're willing to accept that even the goy can do it lishma, so then we can go back to that halacha in Maseches Menachos and say, why does the Torah say a goy can't make tzitzis? Why can't the goy connect the strings? Why do I need exer sakosov? Isn't it obvious he can't do it lishma? It's not so obvious. If I cared, he could do it lishma. It's possible that a goy could have connected the strings lishma. So therefore, the pasuk is coming to tell me, even though the goy theoretically could have done it lishma, afal pichein, it's still possible because of exer sakosov. The Rambam could never have said that. The Rambam lishitoso ruchas gittin could never have said that. Because the Rambam understood that a goy is mufka from lishma, finished, end of discussion. He can't write things lishma, he can't tie strings lishma, he just can't make lishma finish up he did, whether it takes a second, it takes a minute, it takes an hour, it takes 10 years, a goy cannot do things lishma. Therefore, the Rambam was bothered with the question, if a goy is mufka from lishma, why do I need a pasuk to teach me that a goy can't create tzitzis? That must be a proof positive that the connecting of tzitzis doesn't require lishma. So it was only the Rambam. We're not going to read the Rambam a fifth time. We already read it four times. The Rambam derived from the fact that we need a pasuk to teach me that a goy can't connect strings lishma. That's a raya brewer. That's a proof positive that the connecting of the strings doesn't have to be lishma. Rashi and the Rabbeinu Baruch and the Rosh and all the other Rishonim who learned that a goy could potentially create lishma. That was just a quirk by Gittin because it's so long, but it's not an absolute. According to the other Rishonim, it was practical, it was feasible, it was possible that a goy could create the strings, connect them lishma, and therefore afa bichena need a pasuk to disqualify him. So when all the dust settles, we still have a running machlekes and Rishonim. What is the issue back in Sukkah Daf Tes? That's really what we got to. The Gemara had a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, something related to Chustitis. We're not sure quite what the issue was. So according to Rashi, everybody agrees there's a basic requirement of Tzitzis being Lishma. The machlekes was, is that apply only to the connecting of the strings, or does that apply even to the manufacturing, to the tefillah, to the spinning of the wool? According to the Rambam and the Balamor, no. That according to Rav, there never was a requirement of anything of lishma on tzitzis. The only thing is that there are technical reasons why those other kinds of strings are no good, either because they're very, very degrading, it's a bizarre mitzvah, or because they can't be manufactured into a beged, that's a different halacha. But in terms of lishma, there never really was a din lishma at all. So now getting back really to our tzitzis slash sukkah sugya, because that's really the point of our sugya, we have to go back to the Gemara, get back to the first of the Rambam Kamos, and read the Gemara carefully through the eyes of Rashi and through the eyes of the Rambam. So comes the Gemara and starts out back again from the beginning of the Rambam Kamos. Ubeis Hillel leislu d'Rav Yudah Marav. Beis Hillel were the ones who said that a sukkah doesn't have to be made lishma. Bishami disagreed, of course. Beis Hillel said a sukkah doesn't have to be made lishma. And the Gemara is questioning, is that true? Do Beis Hillel argue with what Rav Yudah Marav said? What did Rav Yudah Marav say? The Amr Rav Yudah Marav, Asam and Kotz and Neiman, etc. Nasis and Ksheira, Kiyam Yisakam Lishmol, Af and Nasis and Ami Psula. So the Gemara is presenting a seeming disagreement between Beis Hillel on the one hand and our discussion of Chassidus on the other hand. There's a contradiction between Beis Hillel and the Chassukah and everything that's going on in Chassidus. What exactly is the contradiction? What was the Gemara's question exactly? The Gemara is contrasting Sukkah according to Beis Hillel, the no need lishma, with everything that's being presented over here. So according to Rashi, this Gemara reads like a charm. According to Rashi, the Gemara is presenting Sukkah of Beis Hillel against everybody's issues in Hilchos Tzitzis, because in Hilchos Tzitzis, everybody, both Rav and Shmuel, accept lishma. Okay, it's true, they're arguing about the nuances, the details. Is lishma only by this part? Is lishma by that part? But the question is a very, very powerful question. Namely, in Sukkah, Beis Hillel deny lishma entirely. What happened to tzitzis where everybody accepts lishma? Then the Gemara goes on to show you there's a pasuk by tzitzis, not a pasuk by Sukkah. So according to Rashi, the Gemara reads beautifully. The Gemara is contrasting the unanimous opinion in tzitzis that require lishma and count just the Beis Hillel by Sukkah. But according to the other Rishonim who argue that it was only Shmuel who accepted the Shema. Nobody else accepted the Shema. It was only Shmuel who accepted the Shema. So the Gemara is asking almost like a half-baked question. The Gemara is saying, wait a second, you Beis Hillel, you're against Shmuel. Okay. Maybe you're Nechanami. Maybe they are against Shmuel. It's a very, very strange question. What makes the question comprehensible, according to the other Rishonim? You have to say that the Gemara already knew that Shmuel is correct. That the Gemara already knew that Shmuel had the final say in the sugya, that Shmuel was the accepted halacha. If you're not willing to commit yourself to say Shmuel is the correct view, then the Gemara's question was a very, very shocking question, a very, very weak question. The Gemara's asking a question, how dare you Beis Hillel say this, after all, Shmuel said that. Shmuel, and what about Rav? So it comes out that there's something else in between the lines now of this sugya that's now going to impact us halacha l'maisa. You know, a Rishon is looking at this sugya Masechet Sukkah and asking himself, should I paskin like Rav? Should I paskin like Shmuel? Rav's the one who said that you don't require the strings to be spun the Shema, and Shmuel said that they do. How would you paskin? As you as a Rishon, how would you paskin based on this sugya? Machlokes is Rav and Shmuel. So the starting point would be, well, Rav and Shmuel, we always pass like Rav, but Isurim. Generally, in issues related to mitzvahs and Isurim, we pass it like Rav. Issues related to the Nidim, and it's the monetary law, we pass like Shmuel. That's a clown in the Gemara. So this is Isurim. So if I knew nothing else, I saw Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, I would have passed straight out like Rav, that Tvias Achutin, the spinning of the world, need not be done the Shema. So that's what some Rishonim say. Some Rishonim say, right, that's the Din. The Rechonami, the Tvias Achutin, don't have to do the Shema. And other Rishonim say, wait a second. How could you tell me that you paskin like Rav? But the Gemara is asking you a question, a stump of the Gemara is asking you a question based on Shmuel. So any Rishon who is stuck to learn that the Gemara's question is only from Shmuel is also stuck to paskin like Shmuel. You cannot paskin like Rav. If you hold like the Rambam, if you hold like the Balamor, if you hold like those Rishonim, that Rav Taka denies Lishma and the entire question of the Gemara is only from Shmuel, then by definition you're going to paskin like Shmuel. If you hold that Rav also subscribed to the Shema, partially, at least by connecting the strings, if you hold like Rashi, so then you're not married to Shmuel, you're not bound to Shmuel, you're not mechuyev to Shmuel Shita. So now all of a sudden we're learning a sukkah in sukkah, we got sidetracked to tzitzis, and now we find that there's a major issue in Psach Halacha affecting us, namely, Halacha L'maisa. Do strings have to be spun Lishma? What is the din? Tviyas Achutin have to be Lishma, or they don't have to be Lishma? According to half of the Rishonim, absolutely. It's Shmuel who said it. Well, tough luck. We have to pass like Shmuel. We have no choice. According to the other Rishonim, but not Meshumet to Shmuel, Rav also held there are dinim of Lishma. Not Tviyah. There are other dinim of Lishma, but Tviyah need not be Lishma. So now all of a sudden, this sugi Masechta Sukkah is now impacting Halach Lamaisa in terms of Hilchos Tzitzis. So what should the din be? Halach l'maisa, how should we paskin? So we're looking at the sugya through very, very limited scope of Sukkah Teftes. We have to expand the horizons a little bit and take a look at two more sugyas, well, actually three more sugyas, and get a little bit of a more insight. What should the din be? The Tviyas Achutin Nid L'Shmona. So let's take a look at the fifth of the Marmakamos. It's a sugya we've spoken about in the past in a little bit of a different context. It starts with a sugya that appears to have nothing at all to do with our discussion. Comes the Gemara, the fifth of the Marmakamos, Sanhedrin Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Itba, we learned as follows. Oireg Beged Lameis. We just spoke about this in the previous sugya. If a person is weaving a garment for Tachrichim for a mace. Now we mentioned the din is that a mace is also Bahadna. You're not allowed to derive benefit from a dead body. And you're not allowed to derive benefit from anything that was used for a dead body. So let's say a mace was wearing Tachrichim. And then at the last minute we decide to take those Tachrichim off and switch to Tachrichim. Those Tachrichim are also Bahadna. You're not allowed to derive benefit from those Tachrichim. Let's say a mace was put into an Aron, put into a coffin. And you were planning on burying him in that Aron. And then the last minute you change your mind and take him out of the Aron. So you can't use that wood. You can't use that Aron for anything else. So a mace is also Bahadna. And everything that was used for the mace is also Bahadna as well. What if the beged wasn't used for the mace? It was just designated for the mace. It was just sewn. It was just woven for the mace. Abaya ma'asar. Abaya says once it's woven, once it's manufactured for the tzarach of the mace, it becomes asar. For Rav Amar Mutar. And Rav says, no, it's mutar. What's the issue? Abaya ma'asar hazmana milsi. Abaya says it's asar. Abaya understood that just the mere designation of something is a problem. Hazmana milsi. For Rav Amar Mutar hazmana lav milsi. Rav said it's not a problem. Hazmana is lav milsi. So come.
It's underneath this a machlokus of whether it's a mitzvah or it's not related?
No, no, it's machlokus luchos hazmanos in
rak machshava.
It depends on what does the person's plan, the person's kavan, the person's preparation. Does that create an issur or not? That's machlokus. So comes the Gemara and connects this to another area of halacha. The sixth of the Memra comes. Tanoi. So the Gemara says that machlokus of Ayin Rav is actually a machlokus of Tanoi. What's the machlokus? The sign. You learned in Hebraica. Sipan Zov. If a person is making a pair of tefillin, and instead of covering over the parshas with a leather, with a bias made out of ore, he wants to have a little bit, you know, more creative. Look, everyone in shul has the same tefillin. He wants something a little bit standing out. So he decides to make golden batim for his tefillin. Oh, shetololein or shavem b'tameya, or uses non-kosher animal skins for his tefillin. Psulos. Then that's possible at Torah. No question about it. We have halacha Moshe Messina that the parishes of tefillin have to be surrounded with batim. The batim have to come from animal skins, and it has to be dafka kosher animal skins. So any other options, the chaza batim or golden batim are out of the question. Now, what if the material is acceptable, but or beim tahora ksheros, afa bishol ivdon lishman? What if the or the skins for the vayas were never processed, they were never made lishma? So he just took out of kosher animal skins, and he's making them to for some other purpose. And then the last minute, he said, oh, these came out pretty good, came out pretty nice square. Let's use them for tefillin. So the first opinion, the bride says, that's okay. There's no need that the ibad or of the batim has to be lishma. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lo yemen, no, af or be mitaros, tor psulos, achi avdu lishman. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, just because they're kosher animal skins is not enough. They require ibud lishma. So strange machlokes tanoim. Does the ibud, the preparation, the prerequisites of the making of the tefillin, does that have to be lishma? Not. So the Tanna Kamma said, not necessary. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, absolutely critical, absolutely necessary. So the Gemara says, aha, that's a machlokes tanoim. And that machlokes tanoim is the same machlokes abay and rav and hazman and milso, laf hazman and milso. What in the world is the connection between the two issues? So Rashi says, the simplest part of the Gemara, Rashi says, the machlokes here is really a running machlokes. How much significance does the Torah give to preparatory steps? How important is it? How significant is it what happens in the background? What happens before we actually completed the process? So the Ibud HaOr is a very early along the process, a very early stage in the preparation of the tefillin. So the Tanna Kamma says, it's such an early stage, we don't really care about it. It's not important to us anyway. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's very important. It's very early, it doesn't matter. Even early stages are significant. So comes Rashi and explains, that machlokes, Tanna Kamma and Shimon Gamliel, a conceptual machlokes about how significant does the Torah give to the early pre-stages. That's the same machlokes about Hazman and Milsa. Abaye argues, Hazman is very important, that even way, way, way before the actual techvichah were put onto the mace, way before the Leviah, way before the Kavura, we're already worried about the fact that the Beged was made from Tzorech HaMace. Abaye is taking into consideration the principle of Hazmana. Hazman is very important in the worldview of Abaye, and therefore he's buying into the view of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. If Hazman is important in the making of techvichim, Hazmana can create an isser in the making of tachrichim. So to Hazmana is going to require lishma, the making of tefillin. So if I had a blackboard here, I'd make an equation that the weaving of tachrichim is like the ibra or of tefillin. If you believe in Hazmana milsa, then you believe that it's important. And if you hold like Rav that Hazmana la milsa, then you hold that it's not important. That's a simple pshat, that's how Rashi learns. It comes out according to Rashi. How are we going to paskin in the Shaila? Are we going to paskin that Ibn Or requires Lishma not? Well, the question is, do we pass like Abaye and Rav? So that's a pretty easy question to answer. Of course, we pass like Rav. It's not one of the six cases of Yalka Gam. So we paskin like Rav. In effect, Hazmana is Lav Milsa. Therefore, we don't take into consideration the early preparatory stages. So comes the Gemara and says, if you go now to the seventh of the Marmakomos, in Menachas Daf Membeis, the Gemara quotes the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel about whether you require Tviyas Achut and Lishma. And guess what? Says the Gemara, Kitanoi, the second middle of the second line, that Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, whether Tviyas Achut, whether the spinning of the wool is Lishma, Kitanoi, what's the Machlokes? Tzipan Zov, Oshatol, and Obey Betveya Psulos, or Obey Betarab Ksheiris. Apishal Ibn Lishma, Shimulilom, Obey Betarab Psulos, Hashem Lishma. The Gemara references the same Achlokes. So the Gemara just linked together three different questions. what's the status of hazmana by techuichim? What's the status of ibud lishma? What's the status of tefillah lishma? It's one question. It permeates all three sugyas. It's the same issue. How serious are the preparatory stages in mitzvah performance? So comes Rashi and connects the dots and basically says, we know we paskin like Rav that hazmana is lav milsa. Therefore, we hold that ibud or is not necessarily lishma. And therefore, we also hold that the Tviyas HaChutin is not necessarily Lishma as well. So Rashi seems to paskin halacha l'maisa that there's no need to spin the wool Lishma. That we, in effect, says Rashi, we don't paskin like Shmuel. We paskin that there's absolutely no need to weave the strings Lishma. If that is to spin the strings Lishma, I'm sorry. This Rashi is Lashita also. Because since Rashi, back on Sukkah Daf Tes, learned that the Gemara wasn't Meshubat to Shmuel. The Gemara was just asking for the general din lishma. So we paskin connecting strings to the baggage is critical, says Rashi. Spinning the wool, not so important. So when all the dust settles, it comes out, Rashi in Masechet Sukkah, and Rashi in Masechet Sanhedrin, and Rashi in Masechet Menachos, one fell swoop, Rashi Shit is, that preparatory stages, guess what, are just not so important. Tviyas HaChutin is not so important lishma. Ibera Oris Fitfilin, not so important lishma. Orig Begin Lemeis, not so important to creating a Sref Tachrichim. So we just gave one side of the equation. Hopefully, next week, we have to give equal or maybe more than equal time to the other Rishonim who revamped this entire Sugya. And again, this is now beginning to spread. So we've been talking about Asiyas Tzitzit Lishma for a whole week. If you notice here, there are 19 Makaris on the Sugya. We have a long way to go because this is just one Tipim and Ayam in terms of the Lishma aspect. Hopefully, next week, we'll see how this impacts on many, many other cases of Lishma.